Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started a week ago talking about financial stewardship. And I tell you, this is an important subject. It's a subject that just causes some people to explode with anger and resentment, especially anytime a preacher talks about it. But you know what? It's important. Most people are not being good financial stewards. And because of this, there is problems in their life. There's divorces. There's heartache. There's people that are stressed out. There are people that are struggling. And one of the most important things is you can't be a blessing to other people if you aren't blessed financially yourself. And God has caused us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. As He told Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12, He says, "I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." You can't be a blessing until, first of all, you are blessed. There are many of you who watch this program and you hear things that are going on. You see famines and problems in some of these other nations, and there's these organizations that are trying to help people and to do all of these things, and you have compassion, but you can't do anything about it. There are people in your own neighborhood. There may be family members. There may be other people that you see all of the time who are struggling, and yet you're struggling yourself. You can't bless anybody else until you begin to prosper. And so this is an important issue, and I really believe that God has led me to minister on this, to help you enter into a realm of prosperity, not just for yourself, but so that you can be a blessing to other people. Let me use this verse again in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. I used this yesterday. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And in context, Jesus is talking about money. Trusting God with your finances is the least use of your faith. And some people think that teaching on prosperity is for the super saints, for the super dupers, for the people who want to be the really mature people. But you know what? I'm just down here. I'm just barely saved. And don't talk to me about this. I need to be healed. I need to have God work in my marriage. I need God to touch my emotions. And this is, you know, for way on down the road when you're much more mature than I am. Jesus said it's just the opposite. You need to totally reverse the way that basically religion has made us look at, that prosperity is something only for a few elite. This is baby stuff. Trusting God in your finances is the least use of your faith that there is. And if you aren't faithful in that which is least, then you aren't going to be faithful in that which is greater. You know, if I was in a church service, and let's say that I was standing up on the platform, if I couldn't jump from the platform to the first row of seats, then you would be really, really smart to bet that if I couldn't do that which is least, I couldn't jump from the platform to the back row of seats. If I can't jump the smaller distance, I can't do the bigger thing. See, we understand this in every area. If a person is running a race and if they pass out and just can't even go 50 yards, well, then you ought to place money on the fact that they can't go 100 yards. If you can't lift 5 pounds, then you'd be smart to place money on the fact that that person can't lift 100 pounds. See, we understand this in every area, but when it comes to Christianity, it's like we have a disconnect from some of just the practical wisdom that you have in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. Oh, I'm going to trust God for my salvation, and I believe that my eternal destiny is secure. And these things that are infinitely bigger than financial things, we have no trouble believing in that. But I couldn't give. I can't trust God. The same verses that say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The same scriptures say, give, and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The same Bible says that. The same verses. And it's amazing how people say, oh, well, I can trust God for these eternal things that are infinitely important. But I can't trust Him with the promises that promise that if I give, it'll be given back unto me. According to what Jesus said, if you can't trust Him in that which is least, if you aren't faithful, if you don't trust Him in this area and steward this the way that He's instructed you, what makes you think that you can trust Him in these bigger things? Boy, that is a big concept that I've just given right there. And this just basically stands a lot of people's religion on ear. Because there's a lot of people, I guarantee you, there are lots of people, there are millions and millions of people watching this program right now who you say that I am saved, I trust Jesus with my salvation, and you have no problem believing Him for this huge, big thing. But the same God who said, if you confess Him, you'll be saved, told you to give, and it shall be given unto you. And you say, I can't trust that. I don't believe that. I need this money. I can't do that. I can't trust Him. That's like a person saying, well, I can't jump to the front row, but I can jump to the back row. I can't lift 5 pounds, but I can lift 100 pounds. You know what? You're deceived. Or you're deceiving. Something's wrong with this picture. I know that what I'm saying is huge. And I know that this just, it's like somebody's, you know, driving down the road and all of a sudden you just stick it in reverse and they come to a screeching halt. And it's just that jarring. I mean, it just stops you in your tracks. What are you saying? I'm not saying anything that Jesus didn't say. And again, yesterday I turned over to Mark chapter 10 and I used the example of this rich man who came and fell at the feet of Jesus, and he was professing some of the right things, but Jesus knew his heart wasn't right. And he says, you either called me God or quit calling me good. I'm not just good, I'm God. So make me who I am or just reject me completely. And the man said, oh, I've done everything you've asked. And the Lord knew his heart wasn't right. And so he says, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. He used this exact principle. He says, if you can't trust me, that if you give, that you will receive back in this life 100-fold. If you can't trust that, well, then you can't trust me for your salvation. Boy, those are strong statements. And this man went away sad because he couldn't trust him. And Jesus used finances and his attitude towards finances to show that, you know what, you aren't truly believing God. I've had so many people come to me, and I know some of you are going to misunderstand what I say and you'll judge me and stuff, and that's your problem, not mine. But I'm telling you out of a pure heart, I've had people who are friends come to me and they are devastated financially. And they need a miracle. And I asked him, I said, so are you trusting God in this area? Are you really believing? Oh, yes, I believe God with my whole heart. I've been praying. I've been doing everything. And I just believe with my whole heart. And I'm struggling financially. And then I ask him the next question. All right, so are you giving? And I mean, all of a sudden, these people who were just so adamant, I'm trusting God. They said, well, I want to give, but I can't. I just don't have enough money to give. And you know what? Right there, they can say that they're believing. But if you aren't following the instructions of the Lord to give when He told you to give the Lord the first fruits, that means off the top. You don't pay your bills first. And if there's something left over, then you give God something. As long as you don't need it. As long as it, you know, you can go ahead and have your $200-$300 a month cable fee so that you can watch every single thing and watch all of the sports deals. And as long as you take care of everything you've got and you've got all of your gadgets and you're doing everything you want, and if all of your needs are taken care of, and if there's anything left over, I'll be glad to give to God. That's not what he's talking about. He says, give him the first fruits. You give to God first. Any person watching this program who's saying, but I can't, I need all of this. You've got money. Money comes to you. It's not a matter of not having money. It's a matter of you not apportioning it properly. You aren't putting the proper priority. You take care of every desire, every lust, everything that you need, and if there's something left over, you give to God. Well, you can say what you want to, but you aren't really trusting God because He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38. Now, let's just take that out of Scripture and let's just make it practical. If I had the resources, I don't, So don't call me and don't write me. But I'm saying, if I had the resources to guarantee that any person who sends in $10 to me, I'll give you back $1,000, a hundredfold return. Now, if I had the resources to promise that, and if I had the integrity, if you really believe that I was telling you the truth, you would be absolutely stupid not to send me $10. And it doesn't matter what your situation is. You might need that $10 to buy groceries. You might need that $10 to go pay your rent. You might need that $10. You might have a million and one needs. But if you really, really, really believed that I was a man of my word and I had the resources to do that, you would be absolutely stupid not to take $10 from something else you wanted to do and send it in if you truly believed I could produce $1,000 giving it back to you. I think everybody understands that. Even if you didn't, if somehow or another you were on the street and you had zero money, man, it'd be to your benefit to borrow $10 from somebody and say, I'll pay you back $20. And you'd still have $980 after you got through paying back the person that you borrowed from. If you really believe what I said, you'd borrow money if you had to be able to get that return. The Scripture says, Jesus Himself said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And if you put that together with this scripture here in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, it says that if you give anything up, you shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and lands and all of these things with persecutions. If you really believe the Lord, then why wouldn't you give $10 to get back $1,000? And that would be crazy. And yet this is what the Word preaches. And so a person who comes and says, I'm doing everything, I'm trusting God, I've been praying, I've been believing, but you haven't given, you don't really trust God. You can say that you do. You can pray. You can fast. You can get to where you're nearly wasting away because you fasted so much. You can scream at the top of your lungs. You can say what you want to. But the Word says, give, and it shall be given back unto you. And that's not just an isolated verse. Man, it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9. It just is completely an established truth. From Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 4, I can give you hundreds of verses where it talks about giving and then God blessing and prospering you back. It's an established principle in the Word. So a person who says that they're believing God and they're trusting God, they may be like this rich young ruler and they may say it with the most religious voice that glory to God. And they may do whatever and you may be sincere, but I can guarantee you if you aren't giving when the Lord has promised that He will give you back 100 times whatever you give, if you aren't giving, you do not believe the Word of God. If you don't trust Him in this area of finances, that's the least area of trusting Him. And if you can't trust Him in finances, then that's one of the reasons that you aren't seeing your healing manifest. You aren't seeing your marriage heal. You aren't seeing other things happen because you can't do something greater until you've done that which is least. It's like the rungs on a ladder. You can't just jump from the ground up to the top rung on a ladder. You got to start with the bottom rung and take a step and work your way up. And trusting God in the area of finances is the least thing. If you can't live 5 pounds, you can't live 100. If you can't believe God for your finances, you can't believe God for healing of cancer. And I know that there's lots of people offended by what I'm saying, but I am not saying anything that Jesus didn't say. This is the least area of trusting God. It's just that simple. You know, I can say it this way. I know thousands of people. I've traveled. I've met people. I've got friends all around the world. And I can't think of one, what I call a mature Christian. And that could be qualified. Just real quickly, let me just say that's somebody who, if something happens, if somebody dies, if things don't go their way, they aren't going to bail on God. They're going to continue to follow God. Somebody who next year, they're still going to be seeking God. That's what I call a mature Christian, somebody who's got a relationship with God that will enable them to weather the storms of life. And I don't know one mature Christian who doesn't trust God in this area of finances. And yet, I can turn around and say this. I know thousands of people who are wonderful people, who I like them. They are just great people. They're fun to be around. I like them. But they're unstable. I can't guarantee you that next year they're going to still be seeking God. It just depends on which way the wind blows. They may be wonderful right now, but they don't have the stability, the maturity. They aren't going to last. I can't depend upon them. And I tell you, a common trait among people like that is they aren't givers. They may give when it's convenient, if they have something left over. If there's a special appeal at church, something big coming up, they might give. But they aren't just the kind that just gives regardless of whether it's easy or not, whether it's convenient or not, whether it's good or bad. They just are fair weather givers. They give when it's convenient, when they're touched emotionally. And you know what? People like that, by and large, are unstable, and I wouldn't call them mature Christians. So, by observation, mature Christians have a revelation of giving. Immature Christians as a whole do not have a revelation of giving. And I really, the only exception I'd make to that is that this revelation on giving takes time. Sowing and reaping takes time. And so somebody might be, in the process of sowing and beginning this process, and they might still be over here in this immature category, but as they continue, if they will stick with it, they will move into this mature level. So mature Christians give, and they trust God. And I challenge you. Again, this is somewhat subjective, and some of you might evaluate somebody to be a mature Christian who I wouldn't. But if you just be honest, the people who are really stable, the people who are really mature, if you look at them, the people in your life, I can guarantee you they're givers. They honor God. They trust these scriptures about give and it shall be given unto you. And it's not negotiable. I mean, they give. And they give even if it's in hard times. If you would be honest, the people that you would consider a mature Christian have a revelation of giving. The people who don't have a revelation of giving, by and large, are immature Christians. So that right there, if you just be honest and look at things, says volumes. You cannot truly mature and reach these other levels to where you're walking in the blessings of God the way that you should if you don't start trusting Him in this area of giving. This is not negotiable. This isn't just for the people that want to be fanatics, super saints. This is for baby Christians. This is for the immature. This is something that you ought to start trusting God in. If you have any relationship with God at all, the same God who promised that He would save you, promised that He would bless you and prosper you financially. And it's hypocritical to say, oh, I'm going to trust this promise over here about my eternal salvation. I'm going to trust this promise about my body being healed. I'm going to trust this promise about my wife or my husband being saved. But I'm not going to trust this promise about my finances. I just can't trust that. I need this money. I just can't do this. That's hypocritical. I'm not saying any of these things to hurt you. It's just like Jesus when He spoke to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, go sell everything that you have. I'm not saying these things to hurt you. I'm saying these things to help you. I'm saying that there's a lot of people that have watered down the true gospel today and have got it to where, because you aren't a Hindu or a Muslim or a Buddhist, well, then you must be a Christian. And they just are kind of Christians by default and they call themselves Christians. And, oh, yeah, I'm trusting God. I've asked so many people. I asked one guy one time, I said, where would you go if you were to die right now? And he pulls a coin out of his pocket. Well, I'm a Christian. It says right here. In God we trust. And he thought he was a Christian because he had an American coin with In God we trust on it. There are so many people messed up about what they think Christianity is. I'm telling you, the Bible is very sincere. And there are many people who would proclaim that they are truly trusting God. But you can look at their finances. Are you following the instructions that God gives in His Word about finances? And a lot of people say, oh, well, no, I don't trust that. I'm not doing any of that, but oh, I know I'm saved. According to Jesus' own instructions, if you can't do that which is least, you can't do that which is greatest. If you can't trust His promises about Him providing for you financially, you better reevaluate and really make sure whether you have truly made Him your Lord, whether you are really trusting Him, or whether you're just deceived. Boy, that's powerful. And I know that what I'm saying is shaking people to the core, but it needs to be done. I just don't know how to say these things that Jesus said without it just shaking our religious culture, because what I'm saying is not typical. Most people would say, you don't do this. You just get the people born again, and then 20 years later or something, after they've grown and matured, then share with them about prosperity. But this isn't essential. I've had people say, you just ought to stick on preaching salvation. Did you know that prosperity is a part of our salvation? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says that Jesus became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. And people spiritualize that and say, well, that's not talking about money. That's talking about rich emotionally, rich in our relationships. If you read it in context, every verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 is talking about money. Yes, Jesus came to make me rich emotionally and spiritually, but He also came to provide my needs. It's a part of Jesus became poor so that I, through His poverty, might be made rich. And I know that that's offensive to our religious culture, but it's our religious culture that's wrong, not the Word of God. I'm not saying anything to you that I haven't backed up with Scripture, and yet I know that what I'm saying is not what a lot of people like. And there's a lot of people taking offense over this, but I just challenge you. Are you going to just pick and choose which portions of the Word you want to believe? Have I said anything that's contrary to Scripture? I've been quoting basically Scripture and just expounding on it. If you can't do that which is least, you can't do that which is greatest. Jesus used money for a man who wanted to be born again, but he was not sincere. And Jesus used the fact that if you won't trust me in my finances, then you cannot trust me for salvation. Mark chapter 10. These are basically all I've been saying. And yet this is offensive to people. But you know what? It's the truth. And it's the truth that'll set you free. We need to get back. You need to go back to the Word of God and just get to where you let God be true and every man a liar. Romans 3:4. This may not be your religious tradition. It may not be the way that it's been approached. But this is what the Word of God says. Jesus said that if you aren't faithful in that which is least, you will not be faithful in something greater. You got to start here. This is a starting place. Trust God in the area of finances. And if you try and just bypass this, go around it, over it, under it, you're deceiving yourself. Jesus said this is a starting place. This is for baby Christians. This is Christianity 101, trusting God in finances. You know, I'm out of time again today, but I've got a lot more to share. So I encourage you to listen in again tomorrow. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get these materials. Everything I've taught here is on this CD set about financial stewardship. And I promise you, this would change your life. I really believe that. So I encourage you to please listen, please call or write today and get these materials.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
The Lord says to me, "But I have already provided for you, remember? That provision's already in your house. It's in your hand."
We just knew that God was teaching us immediately about the power of giving to Him and His kingdom.
I wasn't paying for my daughter's healing. I wasn't bargaining with God or anything, but I think that moved my heart. It put me in an area of faith.
And I heard on the inside of me God say, "That guy's wallet won't contain the return you have coming on what you just gave."
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Prosperity's First Step, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality, providing a firm foundation for building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers and making disciples who will carry the almost too good to be true news of God's love and grace around the world. Discover how you can help change lives. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 5th through the 7th and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta Church Sunday, May 8th. He'll also be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 27th through the 30th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference June 15th through the 17th. And in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I believe that God wants us to physically be well and to have prosperity and feel these things in the physical realm, but it all starts in the Spirit, and faith is the way that that comes from the Spirit into the physical realm. And if you can't believe for something that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, then you are shutting off the flow of God through you into the physical realm.
Join Andrew Womack for the Atlanta, Georgia Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through 7th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.